You know, it's amazing that I get ministered to also when I minister to others. And I just love it when the Lord just gives you those divine downloads as you're going along and say, wow, I never thought of that. And you know, I couldn't have thought of that. I needed to have the mind of Christ. I needed to hear from the Lord. How many know that He is the way, the truth, and the life? He is the author of life. He is the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. You're not ensnared by the lies of the enemy anymore. How many remember what blessed means? It means to be made happy in God and happy by God. To be blessed. When you bless somebody, you're bringing joy to that person. You're bringing happiness to someone. Amen? When you've been blessed, you say, wow, it puts a smile on your face. You say, thank you, that was awesome. And God blesses us because He wants to put a smile on our face. A genuine smile, not one of those phony, right? No plastic here. We don't need plastic smiles in the Lord. We get the real deal. We get the real stuff. He gives us access to His wine room, His banqueting room, where we can drink of His presence. And so you and I in the New Testament are a royal priesthood. And that means we have been given authorization by the Lord to bless and not curse. We are to bless others. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And so we can't be a blessing until we are blessed by God. So you got to get into position for the blessing of God. And, you know, really, the message of the gospel is to declare the way to intimacy with God. And that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the reason why Christ came, was to reconcile us, to redeem us, to bring us back in to fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Amen. And in the Spirit. And so, this means we are so blessed because we've been given access to Him. He was the author of all blessing. All good gifts come down from the Father. Amen? And so I talked about a little bit last week that we must be in a position to be blessed because God wants to bless you, contrary to maybe what your mind even says to you. Because sometimes we don't think, well, I'm not worth a blessing. Well, God thinks you're worth it. God wants to bless you. But He cannot bless you unless you get into position for the blessing. That's why cooperation is absolutely necessary for you, amen, to be in the place where God can bless you. How many know that God does not bless rebellion? So you've got to get into position by cooperating with God, because His desire is that you would be made happy in Him. Oh, yes. And some folks have been sad for so long and depressed for so long that it's hard for them to get a grip of that even, to know what that's even like. But God wants you to be happy in Him. And sometimes you go through a season where life is not that happy. Has anybody ever been there before? Welcome to the real world. Such is our reality in this sin-sick world that we live in. But God's ultimate plan is to bring us in to the joy of His fellowship, that we may enjoy Him, enjoy His presence, be a part of His family, and receive the blessing as sons and daughters of the Most High God. How many want their children to be blessed?
Yes.
You want your children to be happy, right?
Yes.
Is that a wrong thing?
No.
So we got to change our thinking sometimes. There are people who almost, they preach a message of doom and gloom to the point where there's no hope in that. There's no joy in their life. It's all negative. It's all what's wrong, what's broken, what ain't right. We need to focus on Him who is right.
Yes.
Our righteousness is not in self, but in Him. He makes me righteous. He qualifies me, amen, to be with Him. It's the work that Christ did and not that we've done. The word cooperate means to work or act together or jointly for a common purpose or benefit. To work or act together or jointly for a common purpose or benefit. Cooperate means to work or act with others willingly and agreeably. We've been cooperating when we are working together willingly and agreeably. When we work willingly and agreeably with Father God, we are in cooperation with Him. And you are then in position for the blessing. Let me give it to you in one word: obedience. We must be obedient. We must be obedient to the Spirit. Now, marriages, it's no different, are healthy when two are walking together willingly and agreeably. Isn't it true? I haven't met anybody that had a healthy marriage that didn't do those two things. That didn't walk together, right? In agreement, right? And willingly. So we need to get into position. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 gives us a glimpse of our identity in Christ, speaking to New Testament believers. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We know when you read this, you can say, I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation, His own special people. For what purpose? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now we know that the Jewish people were scattered. They've been scattered throughout the earth. And due to unbelief, even though the covenants and the blessings have been given to them through Abraham, they still also must come through the same method into salvation as we do. And that is through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so you and I, being Gentile believers, were once not a people as well. Until we cooperated with God, until we heard the message of salvation and we agreed with God and say, Lord, I receive You. I receive You. And when we say we receive Jesus, that means we receive His Word. You cannot separate Jesus from His Word because He is, what? The Word. So people who say they love Jesus but do not love His Word do not love Jesus. God wants you and I to be dispensers of His glory. That means you too. Dispensers of His glory. And the first step to being a dispenser of God's glory is to understand your true identity. We've talked about that in Christ. And it is discovered as we look in the face of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Our identity is discovered as we worship Him in spirit. Our identity, listen, is not discovered by discovering ourselves. The world says you need to find yourself. Come on. You need to discover yourself. Your true identity will never be discovered by discovering yourself. Why? Because myself has been marred by sin. Man has been separated from God through sin. And so his identity, apart from Christ, is actually an enemy of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we were enemies in our minds to God. But God in His mercy has reconciled us, brought us back in. We will not discover our identity by finding out who I am as far as my nature apart from Christ. How many have discovered that you didn't like who you were? when you went on a journey to discover who you were. Well, you can flatter yourself and make yourself feel good if you want, and you can pay a lot of money to go to these seminars where they'll tell you just how wonderful you are, but deep down inside you know you're not all that wonderful. And this guy with the plastic hair and the white teeth walking around there drawing thousands of dollars from you is going to tell you how great you are, and you just say, man, I wish I could be like him. Well, if you only knew the truth, that there is none righteous, not one. None of us are good enough for His glory, for His presence, for His holiness. We must come through the blood of Christ. We must come to God on His terms, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only through the cross can you enter into life. You must die to live. You must die with Christ. Be buried with Christ. Rise with Christ. Amen. And live an ascended life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that old things pass away in the Lord? I don't live in that nature. I don't live on that identity. I'm not trying to discover that identity. I'm trying to kill that identity. Keep it dead. What I want to know is my real identity in Christ. Who I am now in Christ, a new creation. I want to discover who I am in Christ. And the only way I will discover who I am in Christ is to look into the face of the one who is perfect. And I want to be like Him. Amen. We're looking in the mirror as we see Jesus. We begin to see an image of God's intention for us. Man was made beautiful in the beginning. Man was made in God's image. And through Jesus Christ, God gives you a new heart, a new nature, a new beginning, a new start. And so you have to starve out the old and feed the new. Are you with me? Amen. We don't any longer entertain the old sin nature, but we crucify that every day. What we do is we fill up on Jesus. Fill in His Word. Amen. Fill up as we worship Him in spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, speaking to the church, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. So in other words, put off the old and put on the new, right? Which was created according to God. This is this new nature in true righteousness and holiness. How many know that because God is holy, fallen man cannot glorify God? It's impossible. Only the new creation that is created in true holiness can bring pleasure to God. That new nature. So you must put off the old and put on the new. What that means is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. It really means to be reformed in the spirit of your intellect. To be reformed. In other words, you need to change your mind. Your thinking needs to change. That's where it begins. It begins when our thinking begins to change. We begin to hear God's words. We begin to believe God's words. We begin to entertain His thoughts. And when you receive the revelation of what God says and who God says you are in your new identity, now you are entering into a place of peace. You're entering into joy. You're entering into a place where righteousness exists. Christ is our righteousness. My identity is in Christ. Amen? Who I am in Christ is what matters. Change your mind. Isn't that what repentance means? You've got to change your mind. You used to think this way. You used to talk that way. You used to walk that way. But now, you've changed your mind. I'm now going to agree with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to agree with the Word of the Lord. I'm going to enter into life. And I'm going to walk in life. And I'm going to cooperate agreeably, amen, with God. Willingly with God. And so the first thing we need to understand, if we're going to be a dispenser of God's glory, if we're going to be an instrument or a vessel that He wants to work through, we need to understand who we are, that we are indeed a royal priesthood. Amen? But it's not enough, and this is the problem, it's not enough just to know your identity. God wants you to understand your identity so you will begin to function in that new identity and no longer function in the old. So through revelation, through the Word, and through a changing, first of all, of our intellect and our mind and our thinking, we begin to understand who God is. We begin to know who we are in Christ, my new identity. And you also begin to know what your old identity is like. You begin to see more clearly that that part, which I used to just think was okay, because that was the only part I knew, is something that I hate now. You know that part that wants to sin? That's the part that I hate. That's the part that I put to death. But the new man, the new me in Christ, is the one that I'm going to feed. Is the one that I'm going to pay attention to now. I'm going to listen. I'm going to cooperate willingly and agreeably with the Spirit of God so that I will have life and peace. Why? Because God wants to bless you, but you cannot unless you position yourself for the blessing. You see, people that don't understand this will go out and sin, even Christians. It's a darkness. It's a place where the enemy has set up camp in the thinking. It's only in those places where we don't have truth that he can operate. And so he's going to try to keep you away from the revelation of the truth. Because he doesn't want you free. Yeah. God loves you. God has only good in store for you. But God cannot bless you unless you cooperate agreeably with Him. Right? Come into alignment with Him. Position yourself so now He can bless you. And once you begin to realize your identity, then the Father begins to dispatch you and give you little assignments where you begin to function in that identity now. You begin to be a dispenser of His glory. There are many Christians who just understand their identity, but they don't do anything with it. Uh-oh. What did James say about that in chapter 2, verse 18? Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's not enough to know who we are intellectually. We must learn how to live in this new identity. If a person is wearing a uniform and carrying a gun, that doesn't necessarily make them a police officer. How many know that there are imposters? There are impersonators out there, even pulling people over, that are dressed like cops. So, there are people in the church that may dress like but they're imposters. They're impersonators. You know what a hypocrite is? It's a stage actor. They're just impersonating something, but they're not. It's not a true identity. It's just they're acting like a Christian. Within their own ability, within their own willpower, you can act to some degree. Just ask the Mormons. You can act nice to people. You can somehow display qualities that seem, on the surface, to be very Christ-like. How many know there are wolves in sheep's clothing? that outwardly they appear righteous to men. But unless you are born again, you're still living out of an old identity that cannot please God. And there are those who are just trying to put a patch on the old man. Come on. And impersonate a Christian. We must be changed. We must be transformed. God alone has the power to do that through Jesus Christ. When your heart changes, when your mind changes, it begins to change your heart. Can't put new wine in old bottles. Amen. You must be, listen, a police officer before you can begin to function as one. You must be one. You must be, I want to say this to you, you must be trained on the job as well as in the classroom. Right? They usually put a rookie cop with a seasoned cop, right? And give them some on-the-job training. They're learning as they develop in their skills. They begin to, as I heard some say, trust in your training. Well, you can't trust in your training if you don't trust your trainer. If we really trust our trainer, then we will trust in the training he gave us that is going to work. We're going to function in that new identity. As believers, it's not trying to be like somebody, it's who we become in Christ. And as we understand our identity and we begin to agree with God, things begin to change. You pass from death unto life. I am no longer going to walk in that direction. I turn my full life and destiny over to Jesus Christ now. I die to the death. That's what baptism represents. Amen. I'm dying to the old and I'm coming up with Jesus to walk in the new life. No turning back. No looking back. Our true identity, folks, can only be found in Jesus Christ. If we don't believe who God says that we are and what we're capable of, guess what? We're not going to be able to make an impact for Christ. If we don't understand who we are and what we're capable of, what God says about us, then we're not going to be able to make an impact for Christ. How many want to make an impact for Christ? You want to make a difference? It begins with understanding your identity. But there needs to be, folks, a time when you step out of the classroom, amen, and you begin to exercise. You begin to function in that identity. You begin to move out for God as just a simple vessel that He will use for His glory. We want to make Him famous. I listened to something last night. I don't even know who he was, but I turned on Christian television and he was talking about how our world today is pushing this message of you have to be famous. You have to be famous. You got to be first. You got to be best. You got to win the contest. You got to, you know, excel everybody else. How many know that in the Lord it doesn't work that way? What we want to do is be effective for Christ. We want to bear fruit. We want to make a difference. But we want to make Jesus famous. And in the process of making Him famous, sometimes God will make you famous. But you don't pursue fame. You don't pursue glory. You pursue Christ and His purposes. Amen. To make Him known. I just thought, man, that was right on. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God,
who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's that? That's you. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world, bringing the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and what has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We have been committed with this word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who's that? Say me. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Folks, there are so many oppressed, sick, broken, lost people in this world. But so few Christians who are actually doing anything about it. Constantly learning of our identity, learning what is available to us, what God says about us. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in our new identity. But sometime we've got to get out of the boat. Sometime we've got to step out for Jesus and say, I'm going to make a difference. God has called you to go. Amen? To be light to the world. To be salt in the earth. To effect change. Wherever you go, you are to be a dispenser of the glory of God. God wants to pour in and pour out of your life for the purpose of advancing His kingdom, of bringing many sons and daughters to glory. For God so loved the world. And as a dispenser, we've got to be in position for the blessing of God. Amen? And once we've been blessed by God, then you will bear the image of Him who is heavenly. Amen. There will be evidence of a life that is consecrated to God, a life that is separated to God. There will be evidence. There will be fruit. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and not make a difference. I believe that you need to get so filled with God that you cannot contain it. You cannot help yourself. It bubbles right out of you. To them that believe on me, Jesus said, as the Scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. You are a dispenser for God. And so, understanding I'm a dispenser, we need to take the next step, and I need to start exercising. I need to start practicing. I need to start applying what God has said about me and what God says I'm capable of doing in His name. How many know that God wants to heal the sick through you? God wants to cast out demons, amen? And He wants to use you to do it. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to fear our adversary. Our God reigns. You know what? God so wants to bless you. I'm going to say something. He so wants to bless you that He will go to great lengths to do so. Even to the point of chastisement. Do you know that God chastises us because He loves us, not for any other reason? Do we not chastise our kids? Or we should be, regardless of what the state says. If we love our kids, we discipline them. You have to be careful in this society to understand that, but you have to do something about the problem. Amen? Because you love your child too much to let them go to hell. And so, as in the case of Israel of old in Isaiah chapter 42, the Lord said, this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers. For plunder, and no one says, restore. How many know we have been given that ministry of reconciliation? We've been given the word of reconciliation. We have to speak the word of reconciliation. We have to speak the truth, because the truth dispels the lie. Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Now listen, was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned. Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? It says, was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned. We need to have a little balance here because there's some theology that's out there that says that God would never punish anybody. Come on. That's what they're basically saying. Sometimes we look at bad things as bad things, but sometimes a bad thing is a good thing because a bad thing can turn you around and point you in the right direction again. He loves you too much to let you go that easy. For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. But thankfully, it did not end there. How many know that God just doesn't chastise his people and say, now you're on your own? I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. No, he loves us. So when he chastises us, he also gives a promise. He also will promise, amen, something that is far greater than the difficulty that we had to endure. In Isaiah 43 and verse 18, he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. It doesn't matter if you're in the wilderness, if you're in a dry place, if you're in a dead place. God is able to bring life out of the dead. God is able to provide and supply for you in the wilderness, in the difficult place. And sometimes we have to go through a death to something in our lives so that we can enjoy a resurrection. Sometimes we have to, when we turn away from something, we're turning to God. Amen? But before we can turn to God, we have to turn away from something. Before we can get into position for the blessing, we have to cooperate with God, willingly, agreeably, come into order and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What must I do to get my house in order, to get my life in order? Because I want your blessing. I want his blessing. And because God is so good, sometimes he'll bless you when you don't even... He'll bless you sometimes to try to get your attention through the blessing. Isn't it true? We go out and we bless people who are not right with God, who are not walking with God, but we can bless them. And the blessing itself sometimes wakes them up to see how good and how loving and how kind God is. And they will desire that fruit. Sometimes we pray for the sick. They may be living in whatever kind of life. How many know that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil? They were demon-possessed and everything else. They were a mess. But he went about and he declared, the kingdom has come upon you. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to show you a new and living way. I want you to receive the blessing. I came for this purpose, to bring you back. Amen? So you can receive the blessing. And when you are blessed of God, there will be joy in your life. There will be fruit in your life. Hallelujah. There will be the fruit of the Spirit. There will be love. There will be peace. Amen. There will be joy. There will be goodness. There will be faithfulness. There will be self-control. When you are blessed of God, you will be contagious for God. Somebody is going to notice. Like John said, he came out of here one Sunday night and went into the store. And then I think it was the clerk or somebody in there said, what happened to you? Did you win the lotto or something? He was just like beaming with the joy of the Lord, you know. Well, that's an opportunity. He was blessed so he could be a blessing. And he could tell, let me tell you how you also can be blessed. How you can come into a place where you have favor from Father God. Come on. And it says in verse 21, this people I have formed for myself. God didn't throw them away. Amen. He didn't give up on his people. How many know that God doesn't give up on you? God is very patient with us. God is long-suffering. There are many Christians who live in rebellion, and God is patient. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He just doesn't smoke us like that. But he said this, they shall declare my praise. How many know that genuine praise is not birthed out of, amen, a forced way? God does not force praise. It's not real. But when God blesses you, you can't help but praise Him. Isn't it true? Genuine praise is birthed out of thanksgiving. Wow, thank you. Hallelujah. God wants you blessed. Yeah. Now, some people have grown up in a situation where it's hard for them to grasp a hold of that because they've never known that. They've never known the blessing of a parent, maybe, you know? And that's why we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind and our thinking. We're beginning to realize what is really true, what is really real, what really God says about you, what God really thinks about you, thoughts of peace. He wants to give you a future and a hope. He wants to bless you in the end. And so sometimes He's going to create a situation in your life that's going to bring you into position, hallelujah, even if it means chastisement, so that He can bless you ultimately for the purpose that you will give Him praise, hallelujah, because you really are thankful. Well, God is so good, but He can be very severe too. Behold the goodness and severity of God. How many know God's ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, His love is beyond comprehension. His love for you is beyond what we can really fathom, what we can really understand. And so Jesus gave us the greatest example of love of all when He died on the cross. He said this much, I love you. I'm going to die your death. I'm going to pay your price. I love you that much. That's why we remember in communion. We remember our Lord. We remember what He's done for us. And we remember the promise that He has gone to prepare a place for us. We remember that it was because of His broken body that we can receive healing. It was because of His shed blood that we can receive forgiveness of sins. For God so loved the world. He wants to bless you. You've got to get into position. You've got to cooperate. You've got to come in agreement. Amen? Willingly and agreeably. I wrote down a few more thoughts here. Abundant life is not a life filled with toys, but a life that overflows with the love of God. In abundance of Him who is life, John 10:10. A blessed life stems from an enjoyment of Him who is the author of life. As we abide in Him, we will overflow with His life. His glory shall be seen through His people in the earth. I've got this little statement. It's a little saying on my file cabinet. And it says this, God's grace is like the widow's jar. If you keep pouring it, it will not run out. God's grace is like the widow's jar. You remember Elijah and the widow? As long as she was being poured, it kept coming. You want the abundance of life? Get yourself in the position. Cooperate with God. Be willing and agreeable with the Spirit of God. Let Him fill you up and let Him pour you out. And as long as you are continuing to function in your new identity, guess what? The oil will not run dry. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that He sent me to do," right?
Yes.
He says, what fills me, what feeds me, is as I'm being poured out and as I am making sure that you are blessed, that you are filled, that you are ministered to, how many know that God will ensure that your cup runs over because you are in a position as a dispenser of God's glory? He wants to touch the world through you in supernatural ways that will demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.